Well, it's about time to start. We've got a ton of stuff to cover. We've got a bunch of demos. Basically, what we're going to cover, I'm sorry, I feel like, after listening to that last presentation, I just almost want to yell, but probably went from a type 2 to a type 6. What we're going to cover is we're going to teach you everything about phone systems for beginners. We're going to tell you how normal phone systems are deployed. We're going to tell you how open source phone systems are deployed, what exists. We're going to show you examples of how to script your own phone systems, how to make your own phone systems, and what they can do that other phone systems can't do. So hopefully, can you see me moving this mouse cursor around up here, and is there something going on here? Yeah, I know. We're hacking this so that we have two screens because we've got a lot of information. So we're making a little modification here. So that's actually an old presentation. Isn't macOS 10 great? I was asleep. Last time I slept is probably about 2.5 days ago. And a lot of these wonderful slides you're going to see I did in macOS Sketch application, which I compiled in the car on the way here. So some of them aren't the highest quality, but the info is all there. So let me pull something out here. Actually, okay. So I'll start at the beginning. In the beginning, about late 19th century, Bell and possibly some other people came up with this cool phone idea. Basically, saved the world a ton of time, made the world free for democracy. And actually, if you take one of those old piece of crap phones and plug it into the phone system today, it still works. And that was a killer hack. There have been very few improvements since then, but we're still looking. And we think that open source software is probably the way it's going to happen, because this has been the most patent-ridden proprietary market that software has ever seen. So let me hit it. So we actually are developers on the GNU Common Bayonne projects. The GNU Common Bayonne projects are open source projects that implement application servers and a variety of other servers that you can script your own telephone systems with. We're going to show you how to do it, from basic voicemail stuff to very complex systems. And go back to Sketch. All right. Okay, so here, assuming you were a business or an individual, your first phone system is something like an answering machine. You got four line phones. These little slashes with fours there indicate four lines. It's hooked up in parallel with the four phones coming from the phone company. You got a switch. Later on, maybe you get a key term, what's called a little switching device. And that's an important distinction from the answering machine. The key term is a switching device, whereas the answering machine is an application server. It's called an interactive voice response server. What it does is it interfaces a person to a computer. You've got an interface, it's just a keypad, speaker, microphone. Anything you can interact with on a computer is interactive voice response. And that's what an answering machine is. So the key term, if you guys are into networking and you don't know about phone systems, the key term is like a NAT box. Basically, it takes a few lines in, you see the few lines coming in there, and splits it out into a whole bunch of lines. And what you can do is there's also the concept of hunting now, which you didn't have probably in your first phone system. And with hunting, you can actually have the key term seek to the first non-busy line. So call comes in, it goes into, say, your voicemail system, or in this case, maybe an auto attendant. Maybe it picks up on the first ring. And it uses the switching capability and the key term to route calls to phones throughout the office. So that's a background on a slightly more complicated, kind of the next step phone system. After that, you very well might end up with a computer-based phone system. And there are some cool things about having an all-in-one integrated computer-based phone systems. There are some really lousy things, too. Some of the cool things are, first of all, you don't have lots of pieces of equipment that may or may not work together. You don't have to use up extra resources connecting these two together. There are a lot of resources actually used there. The computer-based system can also interact, possibly, with your, say, your database or your website or whatever. Any questions on that so far? I mean, that's basically kind of the evolution of these types of phone systems. There's a little bit more on this. I'll show you a few more. Let's see what we got. Okay, so less often seen are systems that are based on splitting out the interface from the logic entirely. This happened in the 80s, gained favor in the 80s because people came out with programmable switches. They were just dumb. All they did was a switching part. They connected one port to another. You had to have a computer there that watched everything and told them everything to do. You know, connect this port to that port. Oh, you hear a ring. Pick up the line. You know, transfer it. Whatever. You had to tell them everything. So the CTI and channel bank method is how you would do a dumb interface in your office. And the CTI and programmable switch method is how a central office would do it, how a phone company or somebody else would do it. Subtle difference in that the programmable switch is a little bit more intelligent and a lot more capable. All right. I know I've got another one here. Nah. All right. So there are a lot of different ways to create phone systems, though. And what people are doing with voice over IP now, does anybody here not know what voice over IP means? Or probably. You guys just aren't going to. The first person who at least says he doesn't know what voice over IP means gets a shirt. All right. And it's a cool shirt, by the way. It's like this, all cotton and rock shirt. So, and by the way, has anybody in here ever written a device driver? All right.
Wait a minute.
If you've written a device driver, you can come up and grab it. I'll explain that. I only brought three of them. Sorry, I'll probably have more in John's booth downstairs. All right, so Dan, is that computer up? Thanks. Okay, so voice over IP basically means you're sending voice over internet protocol in a packet switched manner. Internet protocol is part of the suite of protocols we use every day. Sending voice over it involves compressing the voice, having a session protocol that understands how you set up a phone call over, this packet switch network, having, compression codecs that are efficient, and all of the lower layers. Generally, what people have used it for in the past is things like toll bypass. Say you want to call across the country, and you don't want to pay the long-distance bills, or to another country. You don't want to pay the long-distance bills. You can compress the voice, send it as packets over the internet back and forth, decompress it at the other end, negotiate. The two people can talk through, say, a computer or average PC with sound card speakers, and you get intelligible voice usually. Depends on your internet connection, of course. But voice over IP basically is commonly used for that. You don't pay any long-distance fees, so can be cool. Lots of other reasons it can be cool. Things like, if you had your, if this was a phone cable and I pulled it out, you're hung up, but that's not the case with voice over IP. Okay. So, there may be some smoke here. Lots of things aren't going to work, but we've got so many demos that it just doesn't matter. So let me explain to you, an interesting, tweaky way of making a phone system that uses voice over IP. imagine that these are little computers with connections to, this is the phone system, by the way. That's what these things mean. And these are phones. You like? Okay. So you've got these computers that are connected both to the internet and to the phone system. They've got interfaces to both, a network interface for packet data, a network interface for circuit switch data, phone lines. You have, these computers are able to gateway data from either network. They're called gateways. You generally connect, you can connect analog phones to them. That's called a station port or an FXS port. Just connect a phone right into them. Talk away either over the packet switch network or the circuit switch network. You can talk to other gateways. You can get a set of cooperating gateways together. There are groups of people, us included, who have formed our own voice over IP networks. And it's not that hard. And we're going to explain how to do that too. I might come back to some of these. But I don't want to go over your head. So I think I'm going to start with stuff that, how ready is that computer? Not ready. Okay. I'm just going to explain then the first demos, and then we're going to give them as soon as that computer's ready. Here's an old architecture that we had for our system. Basically, we work on the GNU Projects communication subsystem. That doesn't mean a lot to most of you, but what it means to us is that we are trying to get a fully functional, complete set of software that you can use to build your own phone systems, and we're making it part of the GNU project. There are several components. As you can see, we've got one called Bayonne. We finished this one. Babylon finished this. Working on that, trashed that, working on that. I'll cover some more stuff later, but this one here, basically all of these are daemons, they're servers that carry out a small portion of the functionality that you need to make a full range of phone systems. However, standalone, they can do quite a bit. Bayonne is the one that I'm going to cover first, and that's an application server or interactive voice response server. Like I said, interactive voice response, superset of tons of stuff. Voice messaging, call center type stuff, covers a lot. Any interface, were we supposed to have water? Between a human and a computer. So that's interactive voice response. I'm going to cover a little bit of, okay, this is a good one. So we generally stick to a three-tier architecture. So those of you who develop web apps, you have an interface language. It's called HTML. It's simple. You know, describe it in a small document. You can figure it out. It does one thing. It describes the interface to the end user, to the client. Then you have a logic layer. And that's what your application servers do. Maybe your Perl scripts or your CGI. If you program using those. Then in the back, you've got your data. So there's three tiers, clean separation. We like it. Very nice. There are a lot of servers that operate the same way. Apache operates this way. Bayonne operates this way. That's the IVR server. We have a little interface language. And it's stuff like play a prompt, record a prompt, listen for the guy to press some digits. These are how he's interfacing to it. Yeah, what's up? Oh, thank you. Oh, sorry about your laptop, man. Okay, first casualty, the laptop. You can't see all the spackles, though. So we also are able to execute application logic with Bayonne, just like CGIs. We call it TGI, basically the same thing. Let's go here. We got to start giving some of this stuff away. Who understood what three-tier meant? Who's ever written a Bayonne application? That's too many people. You do not count. Oh, wow. That's a bummer. Okay. Who wants to write a Bayonne application? Okay. you look kind of evil, so I'm going to give you the horns. What, do we have another one? Am I good? So, TGI. TGI is just like CGI. It's basically you pass information via environment variables. Pretty simple stuff. What you do is your application comes to a point where it decides, I need to take some information from the user, like, say, digits pressed on the keypad, and I'd like to pass that to, say, a Perl script. It takes them via TGI, passes them through environment variables. There's a little Perl module, just like with your three-tiered web application, to broker that. So there's some other application servers that Bayonne is supposed to work with. We're also trying to get this to work with the GNU Enterprise project. They have an application server as well. Basically, what that does is it takes form interfaces that are business forms, like, you know, shipping, receiving, accounting, those kinds of guys, three-tiered. The back end, they do some logic when you fill out your form. You know, product gets shipped. Lots of stuff we can integrate with them. I'll cover a little bit of that later. Go back to these sketchies. All right. What's up? Okay. So here's one application. We started naming all this stuff, you know, with acronyms, you know, like TOSI and PSCT and stuff like that, but it was impossible to find new acronyms, so we're naming them after donuts. And this one's called Super Donut because it's a totally killer application. It's a really good example of CTI. Unfortunately, we're not going to give you that as a demo because the machine that we had Interchange running on is not here. And we'll probably demo it later in the showroom floor. What this does is it allows you to purchase applications, or rather purchase goods, track goods, do everything you could do with a shopping cart over the phone. Now, granted, you wouldn't want to do a whole lot of that over the phone, but you would want to do a little bit. You'd want to track the goods. You would want to buy, like, movie tickets and pizza and things that you buy when you're on the road. If your internet was down and you had to get something, you'd still want to get it. And so you'd be able to, you know, go through a menu, pick items out of a list, buy things. This is just, you know, a pretty good example. It's Interchange and Bayonne. Again, actually, basically, those aren't on the same level. Apache and Bayonne are on the same level, cooperating together, sharing the same data. We use the same back end that Interchange uses. Yeah, okay. Interchange is a, this is going to be interesting. Interchange is, oh, really? Okay. Interchange is a shopping cart, just so you know. So when I'm talking about buying things on the web, being able to do transaction completion on the phone, etc. That wasn't one of mine, was it? Okay, so that's going to be a challenge. Okay. Okay, I'm about to show you a demo of Bayonne. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to see it, which stinks. Can we use this box to so that I can see it too? Okay. Can you?
We can switch them back and forth.
Okay, we'll just switch them. Okay. No. This is going to be a little kludgy, but I'm going to show you the first apps over here. Jason's will be less kludgy. What's that? What do we have to give this guy?
Spark.
Oh, yeah. We've got a Spark for you with HPUX and is this yours or is this us?
No, it's DEF CON. DEF CON staff.
DEF CON staff? Oh, okay.
Who likes hockey?
Are we actually allowed to give this away?
Yeah, that's what
we
told
us to do.
All right. All right. Well, no, next person who saves our ass gets this. It's pretty cool. I mean, we've got a HBox 11, some Microsoft. Right. We've got cookies. We actually have others. How about this? Can we give this away? All right. Let me see what's going on here. That is a very phallic box. That's the biggest box here, probably. Yeah.
Dude, these are just. This is a minefield, man.
Hockey pucks to you.
Dan, you're going to have to be my cable slave.
You're twisted again.
Can you switch cables for me when I need it?
All right. So what is it you're going to do?
Thanks. Okay. Just a second. So what I'm going to show you in a minute is a couple of things. Basically, I'm going to run through a Bayonne application with you, and I'll show you CC script first, which is the interface language. I know. Switch. This is a buggy hack, but okay, so what you've got here is CC script, and that's our interface language to Bayonne, which is a phone application server. What we're trying to do here is allow you to very quickly, with a small amount of code, design an interface to a phone system and express that. There are a lot of other ways to do it. What this does here is it has commands like set variables, clear variables. You can do that. You have the concepts of variables. You also have the concepts of digit traps. Where you see the caret, that's trapping a digit. So probably it's down here. But so digit traps, basically, on a trap digit, you execute the code after the trap. That's it. Then what you have are other things you can do, like you can execute Perl scripts with the data that you've collected. You can collect data. Jason, am I on a collect? Does anyone have a laser pointer? All right. Yeah, that's very hard. So you can do things like play files, play audio files, record audio files with this. You just have type, what's that? Oh, yeah, maybe I can.
Pull it through.
Holy cow, we're at 24 minutes. This is rad. Okay, so you can set variables. This sets this variable to this variable. Basically, you're assigning this variable to this variable. This session variables are one type, and then all of the variables are of another type. Session variables are variables that are valid throughout the session and get changed by Bayonne. For instance, this contains all of the digits that Bayonne has collected since the session variables have been cleared. So, question is?
Can you pass it to other functions?
Yes, you can. You can actually have subroutines. Session digits are valid throughout the session. So, this here is actually a login script. And I made a couple of different login scripts. This one is, basically, we've collected some digits from the user. We had a collect function up here. And we have a deterministic way that actually looks in a little Perl DB database This is a libexec call. It's just like a CGI call. This is the name of the Perl script that it's calling. Then we have a randomish method, which actually what this does is it looks at the bottom of a file of passwords that were generated, one-time passwords. There's a little Perl script to generate 100 of them. It gets the last one and then deletes it. So basically, when you log into the voicemail system, you'll only use one password once. Usually what you'll do is you'll print out 100 one-time passwords onto a business card, and then you'll cross them off as you use them. And they'll be deleted, and they won't exist anymore. So that's actually a little bit, I figured this would be kind of cool for here because it's, you know, of security nature. People couldn't, you know, go in and poke around and delete your files if they were sitting outside with a lineman's phone or something when you typed your password in. So that's kind of cool. What I'll probably do is I'll just show you Bayonne running in trace mode, and I'll show it go through here. We have a debug mode for Bayonne, you know, if we don't get blown away, that we'll show you basically all these script steps executing. And you actually, it's pretty cool developing with this because you don't actually have to, start and stop the server to change this stuff. It's almost like HTML. You can just type one command to the server, and the server will then recompile all of this stuff internally, all of its scripts. And real time, the application will change as you've defined it. It won't change, of course, until the next caller picks up on a port. A port, by the way, is roughly equivalent to a little phone socket in the back of a computer. So let me put it in trace mode, see if that helps. Excellent. So if I call into this system here, it's a basic voicemail system. I'm just going to show you the hack that I just did. Here goes. I'm calling through a little separate switching box here. I could explain that later, but it's not very interesting. So it explains that it's ringing. It's asking me to, do something. I'm going to press star to log in. Oh, okay. It just asked me to enter my password. I'll lower it to the mic next time. So that's an invalid password. So it didn't like that. But I will show you now a valid password that I'll get out of the one-time password file. This is the little Perl script that Bayonne is going to call to get the value out of the password file. And I'll show you the password file too. And you'll understand the script a little better. So that's just it. There's just a bunch of numbers at the bottom. What's the last number, Jason? 6970. Okay, 6970. So let's go ahead and look at that Perl script one more time. Okay, so the Perl script basically has to get a value from the CC script, the interface script that I just showed you. It gets the value where? It's not debugged, so it gets it there, the TGI query. And then it goes ahead and chops it off, the last line off, returns it, and then goes ahead and sets the value back with the TGI set. And that's it. That's basically a TGI script. So 6970, I think that's it.
I can't hear that.
Thank you for calling Open Source Telecom. Please enter your password. You have entered an invalid value.
Oh, that hurts. 8450.
That one's deleted now, dude.
What's that? Oh, never mind. I was going to hold it while you entered the passcode.
Okay. Anyway, so this is basically the way that it works. We didn't enter the right number. The other interesting things that you could do with this voicemail system that you wouldn't do with other voicemail systems easily is, you know, say have your voicemail emailed to you so you didn't actually have to use a phone. You know, you could check them on the web or online. I actually did write a little script like that.